back, and Miss Caitlin Jones back with us. And thankful that the Lord is meeting with us. I forgot to do prayer requests, and so I do want to mention a few. Continue to pray for Brother Kenny Thurman, if you will. And many of you know that he left out of here the other day and wasn't feeling good. If you will, pray for him. Brother Mark Munzhausen, continue to pray for Brother Mark. Also, most that are already on our prayer list, Brother Frank Fletcher, Miss Darla, Miss Teresa Howe, Brother Norm, Miss Julie Cowart, Brother Jackson's family, our church families that are affected by the virus. And then I had a couple of preachers. I talked to Brother EJ. Brother EJ had a bout with the Rona, and I think he said that his church is they got it. Somebody come into their church with it. So I think he said he had about 10 families out. And anyhow, they're not having church services until like the 31st of January before they'll have their next indoor service. So they've been out for about 2 or 3 weeks now. And then my home church over in Brunswick, the pastor got one of the guys that goes there. He come in with the Rona and gave it to everybody at the church there. So anyhow, they got about 25 missing out of their church, and pastor has it. And so anyhow, he asked that we please pray. I just got off the phone with him before I walked in here. He asked that we please pray for the church over there and for him. And he said it's whooping him pretty good. And he's in his 70s, and but he's tough. And but y'all do pray for him and pray for the church over there, all right? Let's do that real quick, and then we'll get us going in Luke chapter number 10. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, bringing these names before you on our prayer list, Lord, and those that are in our hearts, Lord. I'm sure there's many others, Lord, in the hearts of each individual that's out here, maybe family members, maybe friends, maybe coworkers. Lord, we bring all of them to you this tonight. And Lord, ask you to do what only you can do. And Lord, that's heal them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give the doctors the wisdom to treat them. And Lord, I pray that you would be with the nurses that are having to go through this and on the front lines. Lord, I pray that you protect them and keep them safe. Lord, I pray that you protect our churches, Lord, from this virus. Lord, I pray that you continue to protect ours. And Lord, look after us, those that are in our church that are not able to be here with us. Lord, may they experience you through our live streams, and Lord, may they experience you through our podcast. Lord, they may go to church and be in fellowship in some way, some manner. Lord, we love you tonight, and thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter number 10. Does anybody know what this is about? Who? Choosing a side again. Hey, that's what I preached on. Hey, she remembered. All right. That is what I preached on, but I didn't give the outline, if you'll remember. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but that is where I was at just a couple of Sundays ago. But I told y'all, I've been conflicted. I get into my study, and I get a lot more out of my study than what I'm able to give to you. And Lord, just kind of give me something, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. But we do want to read the account here in Luke chapter number 10. I know we read it a couple of Sundays ago, but many of you are like me, and you need to be refreshed every now and then, all right? So we'll start our reading in verse number 25. And the Bible says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? Now, I'm going to go back to this here in a little bit, because I think a lot of times we get a lot out of Luke chapter number 10, and we get a lot of good things out of Luke chapter number 10 as to how we're going to behave, or how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to treat others. But one thing that we miss in here is what Jesus was really teaching this man, all right? I'm going to go back to this, so don't forget the question that was asked. The question that was asked was, how do I inherit eternal life? And the question that Jesus posed to him was, what is written in the law, okay? We're going to go back to that, because I think that's a major part of the story that most times does not get brought out are expounded upon, because we're too busy trying to figure out who the neighbor is. Okay? Is everybody with me? And how many messages have you heard on who's my neighbor? And we miss out on what the point of the story really was from Christ's perspective. We'll get back to that, okay? Now, verse number 27. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Once again, the question was, how do I obtain eternal life? The answer was, what does the law say? He answered what the law said, and Jesus said, do that then, and you'll live. Okay? And don't miss this, because we're getting back to it, all right? All right, so we go back to this, go back to the passage of Scripture in 29. It says, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. All right. Now, I'm going to give you some information. I'm not going to preach on it, but it's good stuff. All right. So we got the question. What was the question? From the lawyer. What do I do to attain eternal life? All right. Jesus answered it with a question, and that question was, what does the law say? All right. The lawyer correctly answered the question. Don't miss that. He said, we're to love the God, we're to love God with every part of our being and our neighbor also. Okay. And Jesus said, you got it. That's right. Okay. So don't miss that. He knew what the law said. Okay. And Jesus told him, go and do that. All right. Then he asked the question, willing to justify himself. He says, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus gave him the most elaborate, way off base story that he could possibly give a Jew. Okay. He told him that a Samaritan, one that they absolutely despised and they hated, took care of a Jew who had fallen amongst thieves on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. The reason that that is, as many of y'all remember from our presentation that we did on slides when we went to Jericho, Jericho is like 1,000 feet below sea level. It's crazy over there. But anyhow, that was why it's referred to in the scripture as going down to Jericho. Jerusalem's on the mountain. But anyhow, So Jesus gives him this story, and this story pertains to somebody that they literally hated, and yet he was very kind. Now, we get a lot of things out of this. We get Jesus out of that. There's a picture. Jesus is a picture of the Samaritan, or the Samaritan. Let me take it back. The Samaritan is a picture of Jesus, all right, and what he came and did for mankind, mankind being the one that was beaten, stripped of everything, left wounded, half dead in the ditch. All right. And how the law and the prophets and religion came by and looked upon him, but did nothing for him. And the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, Jesus, came to where he was, had compassion on him, poured wine and oil into his wounds, healed, and bound him up, and then took him to the inn. What we miss in this story many times is that it was impossible to do what the Samaritan did. Is everybody all right? How many sermons have y'all heard me tell y'all? Y'all going to be like the Samaritan, right? But the picture that Jesus was painting here was that the man had he had a concept of the law, but he couldn't perform it. Because see, that Samaritan, he took care of that broken traveler better than he took care of himself. All right. Now you can be as self-righteous as you want to, but at the end of the day, none of us are going to treat somebody else better than we treat ourselves. All right. Now I want you to think about this, because the Samaritan took him to an inn, left him with an innkeeper, gave him 2 denarii, which we say, man, that ain't nothing. But in Jesus' day, that was 2 months worth of wages to take care of this man. But if that wasn't enough, Brother Jesse, the Samaritan said this, whatever else that you have to spend, just let me know. And when I come back through, I'll pay it. Now let's talk about equivalence. All right. That would be the equivalent of me going and finding somebody laid in the ditch, picking them up, taking them somewhere, and paying Brother Scott for 2 months of their care in the hospital. Well, come on. I need better ouch than that. All right. Ouch. Right. But that ain't even it. That ain't it. Then saying, hey, look here. Here's a blank check. Let me say that again. Here's a blank check. I'm going to say it again. Here's a blank check. If there's any other needs that he has and you have to pay him, when I come back through, you just write it down and I'll pay it. Is everybody all right? I'm going to need somebody to help me right here. We might be good people, but we ain't that good. Right? And so don't miss the story here. What is Jesus trying to explain? All right. What was he trying to teach him? What says the law says you can't get eternal life. Because if the man was honest, he could not perform. What did Jesus tell him to do? You're right. Now go and do it. But he couldn't do it. All right. So the parable is teaching that we need something other than the law, because we can't perform the law, all right? Now, so when we look at that, we want to get the interpretation of it. We want to make sure we have the interpretation of it, but we also want to get application, all right? Now, this is something you want to write down in your Bible, okay? Write it down in the front of your Bible. Some of you probably already got it written if you've been around here long enough, but here it is. There is only one interpretation to Scripture. But there are many applications to Scripture, okay? There is only one interpretation of Scripture, but there is many applications to Scripture, all right? We got that confused because everybody has their own beliefs about what the Bible, you know, well, that ain't the way I interpret it. Well, the Bible, according to the Bible, is of no private interpretation, okay? And so there's only one interpretation in Scripture. But there's many applications, all right? So, just to get your mind flowing, what are all the applications of it, okay? Well, here's an application of it. We are all that man that was beaten down and left for dead in the ditch. We were beaten down by sin. We've been beaten down by the trials and afflictions of our lives. We've been beaten down by our own disobedience. We have been left for dead. Is everybody with me? You take that priest and you can look at him as the law. You can look at the Levite as the prophets. You can do anything you want to with that. And you can talk about how religion has let man down. I heard somebody told me today, they said, well, he just told them he don't want to be religious. I'm like, neither do I. All right. I don't want to be religious either. Okay. And so, anyhow, we can take that application from Scripture, and man, we can preach on it. We can take the Samaritan, and I have. I took it just a couple of Sundays ago, and I said, hey, choose a side. Are you going to walk by and let people hurt, lay in the ditch and leave them? Or are we going to be like the Good Samaritan, do the best we can to walk over there with whatever that you and I have available and take care of them and bind up their wounds, do what we have to do? That's great application. Everybody agree with that? All right. Now, Jesus said, which of these three was the neighbor? All right. By saying which of these three, he narrowed it down to the Levite, to the priest, and to the Samaritan. All right. And here's the thing. This is where we get into the sermon tonight. So Jesus said, which of these three, was the neighbor? All right. And the man answered correctly. He said, he that showed mercy. All right. So out of the three, which one showed mercy? The Samaritan, all right? And so, no problem with it. We roll on. But there was somebody else that showed mercy in that. See, they wasn't just a Samaritan that you and I can't perform. There was somebody else in that that showed mercy too. And that was the innkeeper. That was the innkeeper. Just a few verses, ain't much to it, but there's just a couple of verses there. The Bible tells us that he bound the man up, he put him on his own beast, and he took care of him and took him to an inn. And then the Bible says on the next day, on the morrow, when he left, he gave 2 denarii and he told the innkeeper, he said, whatever else you need, if there's any other expenditures, when I come back, I will repay it. All right? Well, that got me thinking about it. Now, I can't perform. I can try, but I can't perform what the Samaritan did. I mean, I think we can all agree with that, what I just said. And you and I, we're not ready for that. All right? Is everybody all right? We're not ready for that. Matter of fact, I think that's a better picture of Jesus than it is any. Say, how is that? Well, the Samaritan was rejected and Jesus was rejected. He was rejected by the brethren. He was rejected by his time. And I think he more relates to that. Plus, he had the ability to do things that you and I aren't able to do. And that cross and everything that he did, I think that was a Samaritan. He gave, and he gave well above and beyond, all right? But I was looking at this thing, and I was thinking about this innkeeper. Now, this innkeeper, the Samaritan, had a lot of trust in him. Matter of fact, if you go back and you think about it, really, I mean, how would you like it to be an innkeeper in Jesus' day? And this traveler shows up, and he wants a room for tonight, and he drags this dude off the top of his beast, drags him into the house bleeding. Everybody all right? Beaten, no clothes on because he's been robbed, all these things going on. I mean, you know, I mean, they probably look like a rough-looking crew coming in to find an inn, all right? Is everybody all right? And I'm thinking that, you know, if you get to looking into many inns in the Bible, you'll know that there's been a few that's been mentioned in the Bible, and one of those inns even rejected Jesus. So, I mean, it wasn't like there wouldn't be rejection there. But here, this innkeeper took them in the condition that they were in. And then on the morrow, now listen, is everybody with me? On the morrow, the dude that brought him in says, I got other places to be, man. Take care of him till I get back. And just when will that be? Like, are you going to get something to buy? Are you going to get a bite to eat? Going to get some gas? I mean, what exactly where are you going? Well, I got business to attend to. All right. And so I'm going to leave him here with you. I know he's broken, beaten, battered. He ain't got no money to his name. He's been robbed. But I'm expecting you to take care of him. Now, let's just talk business right here. For the innkeeper, that probably ain't a very lucrative deal. Okay? He probably gets money for them rooms, and probably all he had to do was provide a room, Brother Chip. I'm sure it didn't include providing food, water, the amenities that every one of us need, right? Plus to mention the care of bandages and all of this other stuff that they needed. So, I mean, when you really think about the innkeeper, for him to even take this on, he was showing a lot of mercy too. As a matter of fact, if I put myself in that story, and let's just be honest with it, I would probably be on the side that was like walking out the door after the Samaritan saying, hold on, dude, let's talk about this before you take off and leave me with this. I don't even know who he is. I don't know where he come from. Don't even know his name. Wait, don't drop John Doe off at my place and then take off and talk about just take care of him. All right. Now, there's some in here be like, hey, blank check. I'll take it, man. I'll kill this guy and I'll just ride in, fill in. Is everybody all right? Yeah. Never mind. Let me hush. So anyhow, we can look at that many different ways. But I think, is everybody all right? I think the innkeeper's a church. I think it's a beautiful picture of the church. I think Christ done the work of the Samaritan. And picking us up when we were wounded. But I don't believe it's too far-fetched in application to say that the innkeeper is us, the church. And we've been given the care of the ones, the broken, that Jesus has brought into the family. Is everybody with me? And so tonight, I believe that every church can be a good innkeeper. Every church can be a good innkeeper for the battered by developing the following practices. So there's four practices that I want to look at tonight concerning the innkeeper being the church, and say that the church can be a good innkeeper by developing. How many of y'all know what developing means? By developing, working on, all right, four practices. Is everybody ready? That'll be quick and we'll be out of here. Now let me go ahead and tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you how good I am to you. Miranda's got a movie going over there, and she come to me and she said, "Brother Robbie, this movie is 2 hours long." I said, "Miranda, y'all ain't watching all that movie." So y'all need to go ahead and say amen right there. I just want you to know how the church secretary is. She wanted to watch her movie tonight, all right? And so anyhow, I told her, "You're not getting your two-hour movie in, all right? We're going to get in and out of here, all right?" Four practices that the church can develop to be good innkeepers, all right? The first one, church must be inviting. The church must be inviting. What I mean by that is they must be welcoming. If you look in the passage of scripture, it says this in verse number 35, "And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the," say that word with me, "host." All right? Is everybody with me right here? So I looked up that word "host" in my concordance. And in the Greek, you know what that word literally means? It literally means one who receives all comers. Now, I know it. Thank you, Ms. Melissa. It is good. All right. It kind of got me too. All right. So the host, he said that he gave this to the host. The host literally means one. And I'm telling you, when I say it literally means, that's what it literally means. One who receives all comers, no matter what condition they're in, no matter how broken they are, no matter how bleeding they are, no matter how ugly life has treated them, no matter how their clothes look, no matter what race they are. Is everybody with me? Are y'all with me? Y'all got it? All right. The church, to be an effective and a good innkeeper, we must develop the practice of being inviting to all. Man, that's simple, Brother Robbie. That's just simple. I love everybody, Brother Robbie. Then why is it that when we get in the church service, we spend so much time shaking hands with the people that we know so much about? I told somebody recently, I said, I stand up here, and y'all might notice, but on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, I'm standing up here and I'm looking the crowd over. I'm not seeing who's here and who's not. I'm looking for visitors. Because the last person that I want to feel unwelcomed in this church is somebody that's walking in for the first time. All right? That should be all of ours. We get so busy and so caught up in what happened today and what this and that, that we neglect the very people that walked in the door. How many of you know this? That 2 people got saved this past Sunday. All right? Well, 1 got saved Sunday. 1 got saved Monday. All right? So Xavier got saved Sunday. I hope every one of you shook his hand. All right, because if we all didn't shake Xavier's hand, well, he probably broke your hand if you did shake it. But if we all didn't shake Xavier's hand, then are we really all being welcoming? And I need somebody to help me. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly right here, but he stuck out like a sore thumb. He's 6'6" and he's a black guy, all right? I need somebody to help me. It wasn't like he was just blending in with everybody. So how many of you went and spoke with Xavier? I like it. I'm proud for you, but how many of us neglected to? Xavier come in and come to Sunday school, man, enjoyed, I think he enjoyed Sunday school, and then got into the church service, fell under conviction of the Holy Ghost, and got saved. Going to get baptized this Sunday. But if you and I are going to be a good innkeeper, then you and I are going to have to reach out, and we're going to have to get the blinders off. We're going to have to be welcoming. Why? Because a host receives all comers. Does everybody understand? The other one that got saved was a guest as well. First time, not a first timer, but it was a guest. It was a visitor to our church. I've only come a few times, but they sat under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, went home, went to work the next day and said, I can't handle it no more. Somebody got to save me. All right. But how many of us, let's just talk about it. How many of us even recognized or seen that there was other visitors here? We've got to get the blinders off. If you and I are going to be effective and if we're going to be good innkeepers, and we are going to have to develop, say that word with me, develop the practice of being welcoming. We're going to have to make it a point, in other words. We're going to have to get better and better and better and better at it. We're going to have to be to the place. I hope everybody's all right. We're going to have to be to the place where we come to church for more than just ourselves and our circle, and realize that somebody's eternity is waiting in the balance, and today could be the day that they get saved. The fact is that Jesus is still bringing broken people to the end. Oh, I like it. And he's still doing a work in their life. But he has entrusted the church, the innkeeper, to take care of them. Oh, is everybody all right? Until they can walk on their own. Until they can feed themselves. And this is where you don't need to miss Sunday nights when we get back going. Because we're going to be talking about discipleship. And this is where we're teaching people how to walk. Teaching people how to talk. Teaching people how to eat. Is everybody with me? Teaching people how to go in into the recipe book and get something to nourish their soul. We got to develop that practice. Let me ask you this question. How inviting are you? Now, before you go and answer that and throw up your head, shake your head and do all this, really take a look at our own lives and how inviting are you? Do you make it a point to go speak to our visitors? Do you look and search out our visitors? What's the first thing you do when you come to church? Is it getting with the group? Is everybody all right? Or is it making sure that those who haven't attended or those who's maybe been just a few times are being welcomed? Because the host, I never see one place in the Bible where the host said, no, man, I ain't wanting to do this. Don't miss this. The Samaritan trusted the innkeeper to take care of this man. Don't miss this. The innkeeper trusted that no matter how much it cost him, the Samaritan was going to come back and take care of the bill. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and say this. I got a firm belief that Jesus' bank account ain't never been low. I'm of a firm belief that he's got plenty of money to take care of anything that may cost you and I. Is everybody all right? So, first practice, we got to develop this. We must be inviting. Number two, we must be involved. Now, we're just looking at a couple of verses right here. We must be involved. So, we see from the with verse number 35, we see the host. But then, in the same verse, it says, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. We've done dealt with that in number one practice. Now we look at number two practice and said unto him, take care of him. Okay? We must get involved. All right? When I look at this passage of scripture, I was thinking this. Everybody has different needs. But you and I will never understand or know those needs if you and I aren't willing to get involved in their lives. Now see, now it would have been real easy for the innkeeper to just say, look here, I'll give him a room. But that's all I can do. The room that y'all stayed in, that's as far as I'm willing to go, but I'll give him the room. But from the story and from the illustration here, we know that the innkeeper took care of him. He got involved in his life, listen, where he was at. See, the fact of the matter is that only a broken person, I'm going to go back over here. There ain't nobody saved on that side. The fact is, only a broken person knows how to treat a broken person. Amen. Ask my kids, all right? I get hurt, I run to Michelle. My kids get hurt, guess who they run to? Michelle. Because I don't know how to fix it. Amen. They come running in with arm hanging off, broken in half, blood going everywhere. I'm like, put some duct tape on it, go back out there and play it till your mama gets home. And if she says it's bad enough, I'll take you to the doctor, all right? Unless you're broken, and we all are because we identified with the man in the ditch, we're the only ones that can help broken people. Do you realize that God has put you and I in the church with all your mess? I don't know why I looked at you, Jesse, but I'm thinking about you, all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those things that to some, they may think, man, that's a bad sinner. But God put you in there. And there's going to be, is everybody with me? If you know Jesse's past, and I'm not going to get into Jesse's past, but you know that a lot of people are just like Jesse, and they're going to walk into this church, and they're not going to be able to identify with some people in this church because they've never been where Jesse's been. See, they've not gone through what Jesse has gone through. And so this person that God sends to the end, God's going to make sure that he gets with the right innkeeper. I know, man, y'all ain't getting it like I'm giving it, but that's good, all right? He's going to get them with the right innkeeper that's gone through what they've gone through. How many times have you walked into the church and you're sharing something that you've gone through, or either you didn't share what you was going through, but somebody else in the church gives a testimony, maybe it's just in passing, maybe they sitting around the coffee maker in there, and they say, this is what I went through this, and I remember when I went through this, and this, and all of a sudden your ears are like, and you realize that there's people that have been through what you've been through. And before you know it, God just kind of puts the two of you together. And all of a sudden, the one that's been mended is helping the one that is broken. See, Paul said it like this. Everything that I go through, this is what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. He said, everything that I have been through, and I'm paraphrasing, this is the RJV version, all right? Everything that I have gone through, everything that every affliction and everything that I've gone through was for your consolation. That by the same God that comforted me, I can comfort you. That's what Paul said. Don't look bad on everything that I went through, because God let me go through all of that because he knew you were going to have to go through it, and you needed somebody to help you along. You needed somebody to guide you. That answers the question for a lot of us, is why has God let me go through this? God might not be letting you go through it for you. He might be letting you go through it because there's somebody else going to walk in this church in a year, and their life is going to be over unless they run into you. You're going to be their last hope because there's nobody on this earth that understands what they've been through. But God allowed you to go through it. God allowed you to overcome it. And you're going to walk into that situation and say, listen here, let me tell you about what God did for me. Let me tell you what God can do for you. Let me show you how God has worked in my life and assure you that God will do the same for you. We're never going to know that if we're not willing to get involved in people's lives. If I'm going to be a good innkeeper, I'm going to have to get involved. That means I'm going to have to talk to people and care about what they say. That means when I ask somebody, hey, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. Good seeing y'all. Oh, here's the best one. Y'all ready for this one? Here it is. How y'all doing? I'm good, preacher. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. I mean, do we really care about people? Do we want to get involved in people's life? Or is it just something we want to say, hey, are we trying to make ourselves feel better? Hey, you doing all right? Yeah. Don't hush. Shh. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is better. This is better. All right. Hey, how you doing? Ah! We might not do that, but that's how we, come on now. That's really how we are. Why? Because we don't want to get in people, we don't want to get involved in people's lives because we got too much going on in our life. And we think that our life is all there is. And my, please don't get upset when I say this, but a lot of times we get so self-centered that we're not worried about what everybody else is doing. What's good? And so if I'm going to be a right innkeeper, if I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, then I'm going to have to be inviting. So the question was already posed, are you inviting? But now we've learned that the next practice that I'm going to have to develop is I'm going to have to be involved. So the question is, how involved are you in people's lives? Why do we come to church? Why do you think we come to church? So you can tithe? Hey, I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know something. Is everybody okay? I don't want you to quit tithing. Because we got bills to pay. But I do want to say this. I do want y'all to know this. We did a $1 million project and God paid for it in 4 years. And I thought, I seen people that I can remember, and some of you remember, some of you was with me when all this happened, but we watched 30, 40 people walk out of our church. They didn't come back the next Sunday. They were gone and never had our offering even go bloop. Now, you call that whatever you want to, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. This church ain't filled with doctors and lawyers and rich people, all right? Just a bunch of rednecks that want to come to church and worship the Lord together. If you're not a redneck, just let me glory in it for a minute, and then y'all can bust my verbal Yankees and stuff like that. I know that. And in every crowd, there's a Judas. But anyhow, hey. I know too much Bible. It gets me in trouble, all right? But what was I saying? I got tickled at myself right there, all right? Offerings didn't change. God will take care of the church. Why? Whatever thou spendest more. Woo! Whatever thou spendest more. If you'll be the right innkeeper, don't worry about the financing. If we'll do our job as a church, and if we'll develop the practices of an innkeeper, then we ain't got to worry about our finances. If we're having to worry about our finances, then I pose that you and I aren't doing our job as the innkeeper. Because I don't think the Samaritan was lying to him, you? So, we gotta be inviting. Are you inviting? We gotta be involved. Are you involved? Number three. We got to be invested. It's funny how that we were just talking about money and we just roll right into that one. All right. Is everybody all right? Now, I'm sure that everybody's thinking, oh, Lord, here comes a tithing sermon, but it's not. Is everybody ready? All right. Here's the investment. Listen, because I'm fixing to bust your bubble and I don't want you to go out of here and get on social media and say we had a sermon on tithing tonight. All right. Everybody look up in here. All right. What you and I invest in others are the gifts that God gives to us as believers. The Bible says that we all have gifts. There's somebody that needs a mercy shower in here. There's somebody that needs a teacher. There's somebody that needs a pastor. There's somebody that needs all these gifts work in the church for the edification of the church, for the encouragement of the saints. And so our investment is our gift that God gives us, given to them. Oh, I ain't talking about giving them the gift of tongues. Is everybody all right? Amen. I appreciate it, Brother Robert. None of the rest of them with me right there, all right? I ain't talking about that. I'm saying that God has gifted you, and your job in the church is to perform that gift that God gave you. Because there's others in the church that can't perform your gift. And y'all have heard me preach on this enough times that I hope I don't have to go over it over and over and over again. But when you get in this church and you start looking in this church and looking at the spiritual gifts, you see how God, how diverse this crowd is. And the reason being is because one person can't be all the church needs. Let me say that louder. There's not one person in this building that can be all that the church needs. I'm just a small portion of what the church needs. Oh, is everybody all right? Did I make you feel good? Because now I'm going to hurt you right here. I've got to just take the air out. You're just a small portion of what the church needs. But when we all work together, the church has all that it needs. All right? So my investment into them may be as a Sunday school teacher. Come on. My investment may be as a Sunday school teacher. My investment may be as a care team member. My investment may be as a choir member. My investment may be as a musician. My investment may be as a door greeter. My investment may be as a children's church worker or a Wednesday night worker or a nursery worker. But my investment, what I invest into those that are broken, is what God has given to me to give to others. I ain't got the money. I can't pay for everybody to be in the hospital for 2 months and then write a blank check for you to just get whatever you need after that. But what I can give you is what God has given me. And God's given me a gift that I am to use to edify, to build you up. That's the gifts that you have. Say, is it important for me to sing? You doggone right it is. I just said doggone in the church. And it felt good. Is it my job, preacher? I don't feel like smiling today. We know. Yes, we know. But do you realize that may be all somebody needs? See, if you never battled depression, you don't even know what I'm talking about right now. But sometimes the only thing somebody needs is for you just to smile at them and acknowledge them. And God's given us all, with them gifts, discernment. Ha ha ha. There's a whole nother lesson right there. How many times have you looked at somebody and said, man, just something you seen, and it was just something you knew. But how many times have you been obedient to it? Somebody was telling me today that somebody had texted Miranda and said that they were in a store, and anyhow, they were in this store, and this mother, young mother, had her kid, and the kid was going crazy like most kids' day. And anyhow, kid's going crazy, and mama, you could just tell she was all stressed out. New person in our church, new person. Said, I don't know what come over me. But I walked up to her and I said, can I pray with you? And the girl said, yes, I would love that. And then she was like, oh, that just happened. Now I got to pray. But how many Christians, come on, y'all, how many of us has had the same Holy Spirit speak to us about somebody? But what God's trying to get us to do is invest what He's given us into somebody else. We've got to be willing to invest the gifts that God has given to us. One of my, and I'm going to brag on her because she ain't here, one of my favorite things to watch is Miss Ellen get down out of the choir and go grab somebody and bring them down to the altar. Now to you, it may be a show. To you, it may be just a way to draw attention to herself. But I know Miss Ellen. I know Miss Ellen's gifts. And I know that her gift is a mercy shower above all. And what Miss Ellen is doing is being obedient to the Holy Spirit speaking to her about an individual. And what you don't see, maybe sitting behind them, is about the time she gets to them and gets a hold of them, they're squalling. Because what they needed that day was somebody to care enough to invest just a little bit of time in them. Come down to an altar and pray, not for her needs, but for their needs. And whisper to them, it's all going to be all right. Trust God. He'll never let you down. Let them go right back to her seat, their seat. She goes right back to her seat and goes back to sin. That is how the church is supposed to operate. That's how it operates. That was more of a message than my 3-point outline that nobody remembers after next week. But I remember Miss Ellen practicing what she preaches, practicing the word, practicing, developing, investing, getting involved, being, is everybody all right? All right, I'm done. Last one. All right, where are we at? How invested are you in other people's lives? God's giving you a gift. No, God didn't give me one. Then God's a liar. Because the Bible says he's given every one of us a gift. You may not know what it is, but God's given it to you. And around here, we have a spiritual gifts class where you can find out what your gift is, all right? So we must be inviting. We must be involved. We must be invested. And the last one is we must be industrious. Ooh, you can't spell it. I know. Just do the best you can. All right, I'm just kidding. That was Miss CC. Y'all, yeah, it's okay. I didn't run nobody off. All right, industrious. Industrious. Everybody ready? I'm done. Simple as I can put it. This is it. We can't be lazy. Can't be lazy. We got to be willing to work. Because it ain't easy being an innkeeper when the bandages get ugly and blood all over them and we got to go in there and change them out. Because they need fresh bandages. I need somebody that needs some fresh oil. They need some fresh wine poured in. And I ain't talking about what you're drinking. All right, is everybody with me? They need some fresh oil poured into the wounds that they have. See, because it takes a while to get over brokenness. And let me go ahead and help everybody out. A broken person isn't on your timetable. Let me say that again. I'm going to say it a little bit louder. Y'all need to write that down, all right? Broken people aren't on your timetable. See, when you were broken, you took all the time you needed. So understand this about broken people. They're not on your timetable. And though we may want them to go ahead and get better, you need to tighten up. Here's a good one. Now I'm telling you this out of godly love. You need to get over it. Oh, well, I never thought about that. I mean, if I'd have thought about getting it over it, I wouldn't even come to church. Hey, that's all I got to do. Get over it. Hallelujah. I just get over it. That's it. Just, oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure they never tried that before they come to church. Just getting over it. Just getting through it. Put a bandage on it. Quit whining. Is everybody all right? We're not on their timetable. They may sit in here broken for a year. And you and I got to keep going back and changing the bandages out. You and I got to go back and keep putting the oil in. You and I got to go back and keep making sure they're being fed. Because they can't get up out of the bed. Somebody's got to feed them. If they can't get water, somebody's got to bring it to them. I need somebody to help me. I got all kind of typologies on water and bread in the Bible. And they all point to Jesus and the Word of God. So my responsibility in caretaking and innkeeping is that I have to feed them. I have to make sure that they get the water that they need. I have to make sure that the new bandages are put on. I have to make sure that the oil is poured in. See, that oil and that wine represent what heals And ain't nothing I got that'll heal him. I ain't talking about, I hope y'all know this message ain't got nothing to do with the physical aspect of a person. We're talking about spiritual healing. The only one that can do spiritual healing is the Good Samaritan. But praise the Lord, he's entrusted us. And he's left some things with us and said, hey, use that. And if it goes beyond that, when I come back, hold on, let me say it like this. I will return and I will repay. Oh my. I can't be the Good Samaritan. Can't. I don't believe I can. I believe that's what Jesus was trying to show him. We can't do it. We can't go by the law. We can't do those things. We're just not going to take care of somebody better than we take care of ourselves. But I do believe I'm that innkeeper, or either I'm that priest, or either I'm that Levite. So I guess we have to really look and say, what am I? And as much as I hate to say it, I think some of us, if not a lot of us, might be that Levite or that priest that goes by on the other side. Because I believe for the innkeeper, you're going to have to, listen, develop those practices because they don't come natural. She's coming to the piano. Why don't you come around the altar? I hope you wrote them things down. I hope you'll revisit them. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Lord, thanking you for our services tonight. Lord, I thank you for the choir. I thank you for our soloists, our musicians. God, everybody that's had a part in what's been done tonight. Our security team, sound booth, computer screens, teen kids, nursery. Lord, I'm thankful for a church that serves, that gets involved, and invests in others the gifts that are given to them. Lord, I'm thankful for a church that's inviting. Lord, I've only had one or two times since I've been here somebody say this church wasn't inviting. Lord, I know this is a good, friendly, loving church. But Lord, I also know that it's not natural to do the things that we talked about tonight as these practices. Lord, we've got to work to develop them. So God, I pray that you make us more inviting. Develop in us an attitude that comes into church and says, it's not about me, it's about others. And we look and seek out others to be kind to and inviting to. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we become more involved in each other's lives. Because, Lord, we were all broken at one time. And, Lord, the comfort and the strength that you've given us in our mending, Lord, you'll use to encourage others. Lord, help us to be more involved. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more invested. Lord, not just from a financial standpoint, but God, from our gifts. Lord, help each one of us to realize that you have given us gifts to use in the church, to make the church what it should be. God, if this church is going to be a good innkeeper, then we're going to have to invest what you've invested in us into others. Lord, I pray that we not get lazy. May we be even more diligent, more industrious at doing what we know to do and caring for people, realizing that every time we come in to this auditorium, every time that we walk onto this property, there's somebody that's broken. God, they're not on my timetable. Today they may need their bandages changed out. Today they may need feeding. Today they may need water to refresh their soul. Today, God, they may need oil and wine poured in to help with the healing. God, help this church. Lord, I pray that this church would be like that innkeeper and welcome all. Lord, work diligently.